Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Trinity Baptist Temple Church Sermons Podcast. At Trinity, we're not just a building. We're a church that teaches the truth, provides fun and safe ministries for our kids and youth, develops relationships by connecting in weekly small groups, hosts loving community events, and more. We love sincerely, connect deeply, and reach sacrificially. Today's sermon will be led by our youth pastor, Jeffrey Holt.
Well, amen. Good morning. Thank you for being here. And I do want to say, reiterate, happy Mother's Day. And so good morning, church family. And I just want to say, today is a special day. But I also know it can definitely be a complicated day. For some, this day is a day of great joy. It's a great day as we celebrate moms, as we celebrate grandmothers, and obviously the incredible women who have poured out so much love, sacrifice, and strength into our lives. And we do. We want to honor you today, absolutely, 100%. For others, today carries a different kind of weight, though. Some of you have lost your mom. And there's an empty space that's felt a little deeper today. Some have strained and have had strained or have broken relationships. Some of you here today deeply desire to be a mom, but God hasn't opened that door yet. And some of you are walking through seasons and waiting, seasons of grief, seasons that of longing that others of us we've never seen. We don't even know that you're dealing with it. There's some of you who in this room here this morning, you might not have any biological children, but I want to say thank you because many of you in this room are tremendous spiritual moms. You've discipled others inside this church. You've come along and you've encouraged and you've prayed and you've invested in lives that in ways that matter for eternity, that will impact eternity. And so I just want to say this morning, wherever you find yourself celebrating, grieving, longing, or somewhere in between, we want you to know this. You're seen. We love you. You're valued. And this church, we're setting out to love sincerely, and we want to love you sincerely. And so today we honor the women who shaped us, pointed us to Christ, and we have an opportunity here to say thank you this morning. And so we're going to invite the kids in for just a minute. And I've also got some teens, and this week we had an opportunity to kind of plan ahead a little bit and prepare some things for you moms. And so, kids, y'all come on in. Y'all start finding your moms, your grandmothers, your spiritual moms. You teens, you get up and y'all start moving as well. And they're going to play a little music while these kids go around and find you guys and hand out these cards to you. I'm gonna pass some out, too. We had an opportunity to do this together this week. A little something different this morning, but we wanted to try and let these kids be a part and have it come in and be part of our service and say thank you to all you moms, all you spiritual moms. And I'm thankful for our teens as well. They took part of this on Wednesday night. And I saw so many of them writing cards to different ladies in our church that weren't their moms, that weren't their grandmothers. And just so thankful and grateful. And so I want to say this. I had an opportunity Wednesday night to sit down with those teens and write a few cards out. And I wish I had enough time to write all of you a letter. And I didn't have enough time to write every single one of you ladies an individual letter. So I wrote one to you all. And here it is. To the ladies of Trinity Baptist Temple. This morning, I simply want to pause for just a moment and say thank you. Thank you for the countless ways you serve, love, encourage, pray, give, sacrifice, and care for others. So much of what happens right here in our church at Trinity Baptist Temple and in the lives of the people around us directly connected are directly connected to the faithful hearts of you godly women. Some of you are mothers, some of you are grandmothers, some of you are definitely my spiritual mothers, if you will. Some teach, some encourage, some disciple, some pour into others behind the scenes, again, as I said a while ago, in ways that we'll never fully know this side of heaven, but all of you matter to me. Thank you for every quiet prayer you've prayed. Thank you for every meal you've made. Thank you for every tear you cried, every lesson you've taught, every encouraging word you've spoken to me, to my family, to our church. Thank you for every nursery shift you served. Thank you for every teenager you love. Thank you for every act of faithfulness that goes often unnoticed by people, but never unnoticed by God. Our church is stronger because of you, ladies. Families are stronger because of you. And the kingdom of God is being advanced because of your faithfulness. I also want to say, again, I said a while ago, but I truly wish I had time to handwrite every one of you a personal letter this week. And I guess if I start now, maybe I could be ready for next year, Lord willing. Because you deserve that kind of honor and gratitude. I could not do that individually. Please know that these words are deeply sincere. Thank you for reflecting the love, compassion, strength, and faithfulness of Christ so beautifully. I love you, I honor you, and I thank God for you. Happy Mother's Day. With love, Brother Jeffrey. I love you guys, and I'm thankful for you. And like I said, I wish I had time to write all this down. But this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Ruth. And while you're turning there, I want to share a verse that I read this morning. I'm pulling out my phone because I share it each morning on a text. I've shared this recently, but I'm going through Exodus each morning right now. And this morning we're in Exodus chapter 35. And there in verse 29, it says the Israelites, all of them, all the men and the women whose heart moved them to bring material for the work which the Lord had commanded them through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. And as I was reading that verse this morning and the ones that preceded it, if you know what's going on here, Moses had come down from Mount Sinai and he was told by the Lord to give them the commandments and then to tell them, hey, there's some things that we need to be doing. And here it says that all the men and all the women whose heart moved them, they brought things before Moses. And I was thinking about this past week and how much took place just this week. How much you guys as a church poured in just this week. And the first thing that came to mind was our school here. And we had Teacher Appreciation Week this week. And so many of you poured out on our teachers. Listen, there are people in this room who have no students in our school, no association with our school whatsoever, than is part of our church. And they came and they poured out on our teachers this week. I am so thankful and grateful that God moved your heart and you were obedient to your heart and you did that. Also, this week we had our ladies event, our ladies tea on Saturday, and I lived there on property where it was held, and I would see vehicle after vehicle go over there and start prepping things and making things ready, and I thought, man, what a blessing! God has moved their heart, and they have got up and they have went and they poured out so that this event could take place. I gotta tell you, looking in the back of the room and seeing all of those diapers and wipes stacked up there, God moved your heart and moved our hearts beyond my expectation. I wasn't expecting that. And we are saying, listen, we want to continue on with this mission. We want to love. We want to connect. We want to reach as a church. And it's poured out. We have a guest who's been visiting our church, and God laid it on their heart to pour out this beautiful Mother's Day backdrop back in the back that we get to take pictures with after service. Just a guest who showed up and said, "Listen, I'm moved to do this. God has moved my heart to pour out this out on this church. God has been moving people's hearts and they've been pouring out. And I just want to say, I am so thankful and grateful for you guys, for all that you do. And I appreciate you. I love you. And I don't know, just reading those verses this morning, just so encouraged by what's taken place just this past week. And I'm looking forward to seeing what God has in store and what's to come. So let's pray this morning and we'll jump into our story of Ruth here and see what God has for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you so much for this time this morning to reflect on some things you've been doing. Even these kids, as we presented this vision of writing on some cards and handing them out to their parents, and they took full part in it. You placed a burden on our heart as a church to do this, and they took it and they ran with it. God, just thankful and grateful for the opportunities we've had this week to serve, to pour out, to do the things you've burdened our hearts with. Beyond just the wipes in the back, there's been an online giving, and last time I looked, it was up to $300 and something. You burdened someone's heart to give that money, and they did it for this outreach effort. God, just thankful and grateful for what you're doing. God, thankful and grateful for, again, these ladies here in our church. This Mother's Day, Lord, just thankful for them. Thankful how you continue to burden their hearts to serve our church, to pray for our church, to be these willing vessels inside of our church. And they continue to come over and over and over again and pour out over and over and over again. God, I'm so thankful and grateful for each one of them. God, I pray that you would pour out blessing on them this day. Help them to have a great day in you. God, I pray that you would bless now during the service, Lord. As we open up to the book of Ruth, I pray that you would give us the things that we need. I pray that we would receive your word and be ready to glean from it. The word is obviously fitting this morning, knowing what takes part here takes place here in the book of Ruth. And I pray that we'd be ready to receive what it is you have for us, but we'd also be ready to give you what you deserve during the service. And so right now, Lord, I ask you to clear out all the distractions. Help us to be ready to pour out this morning what you deserve through this time of receiving of your word, Lord. We love you. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I want to preach a message entitled, A Heart That Holds On. A Heart That Holds On. This past week, our kindergarten class was making these things for their mothers, and it had their handprints on it. And then part of the thing that they had to fill out was a questionnaire. And one of the questions on that questionnaire for the kindergartens was, what do you think your mother does while you're at school? And I was reading some of their answers, and they were quite comical. One of them was that she just plays all day with her brother. The other one was that she cooks all day, just things along those lines. But recently I heard a story about a boy who was a little bit older, in third or fourth grade, and the teacher asked the students to describe their mothers. Some talked about their moms, again, similar to what I just mentioned, about their jobs, about their cooking, about their schedules and the things that they have to do. But when it got to this one little boy, he said something much different than all the rest. He said, "My mom is one who stays." And the teacher said, "What do you mean? Why do you say it like that?" And the little boy said, "When I wake up, she's there. When I mess up, she's there. When I'm scared, she's there. When I don't deserve it, guess what? She's still there." And then the little boy said, "She just stays. She just doesn't go." I don't want to argue with you or say this morning, not argue with you, I want to say this morning this, that I would argue is what I meant to say. I would argue that, church, this is more than just motherhood. This is a reflection of the heart of God. Because we serve a God who stays. We serve a God who doesn't move. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, it says this, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is one who goes with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you." And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God reiterates this when he says the same words. And he says, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." And so we have this God who holds on, this God who stays, this God who will never forsake us. And today I want to celebrate that kind of heart. I want to also challenge us to have that kind of heart, a heart that holds on, a heart that doesn't run when things get tough, but it holds on and it clings to the promises of God who never leaves. And we say, "Listen, God, I'm not leaving either. I'm here for you. I'm here for the long haul." As I said earlier, I know that this day, Mother's Day, carries a lot of weight in this room. Joy, grief, gratitude, longing. But wherever you are, whichever place you're at, whether you're male or female, this message is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. It's about a heart that reflects God. You get to the book of Ruth and you start reading through this amazing story, you're very quickly confronted with a mess, with an absolute mess. You're introduced to Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, who has lost everything. She lost everything. So if you'll turn with me there, Ruth chapter 1, and we're going to read here in verses 1 through 5. It says, "Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to reside in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Malon and Chilion, Ephrathites, excuse me, of Bethlehem in Judah. And so they entered the land of Moab, and they remained there. And then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, he died. And she was left with her two sons. And they took them for themselves, Moabite women, as wives. And the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both Malon and Chilion also died. And their mother was left without her two sons and her husband." And so, like I said a while ago, we introduced to this book, introduced to these characters, Ruth and Naomi. And it's an absolute mess. They don't hold back. They just kind of lay into us right here in these first few verses of the book of Ruth. As a matter of fact, if you go a little bit further in chapter 1, Naomi's speaking here, and she said, "Don't call me Naomi." Verse 20, it says, "Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." And she says, "And I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and has afflicted me?" And I'll say this, some of us here this morning are feeling a little bit that way. Maybe we're feeling a little afflicted. Maybe there's something going on in our life, and maybe it doesn't necessarily have to do with motherhood or loss or anything like that. Maybe it's just something else that we're going through. There are people in this room right now that you didn't picture your life looking like this right where you're at right this moment. Again, maybe it is motherhood. Maybe motherhood didn't go the way you thought. Maybe your family didn't turn out the way you dreamed. Maybe you have a wayward child who you are pouring into, and yet there's still an empty seat right next to you. Maybe there's something going on that's just not quite lining up the way you thought it was going to. And if we're honest, maybe we're here this morning and we're saying, and there is a little bit of Mara, if you will, in our hearts this morning. But yet through that Mara, God, I know that I need to hold on. And I want to encourage you this morning, if that is you, and if that is where you're at, and there's a little bit of something going on in your life, a little bit of grief, I want to tell you something. God's not intimidated by your grief. He's not intimidated in the least. As a matter of fact, the psalmist in Psalm chapter 34, he pours out this beautiful psalm of praise, this beautiful song. And he says here in Psalm chapter 34, the Lord is near the brokenhearted. He's just pouring this out in song. And he's saying, the Lord is near me. He's near the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so Naomi, she's in a mess. Everything she has been stripped from her. She has no livelihood anymore. Her husband's gone. Her two sons are gone. And she ends up going back to her homeland, and she says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because this bitterness that has set in my life. But here's the deal. Even in Naomi's bitterness, God was still working. God is still working. And you know who God chose to use in Naomi's life? Her Moabite daughter-in-law, Ruth. God chose to use Ruth. So point number one this morning, godly heart loves even when it hurts. A godly heart loves even when it hurts. Ruth stays. Ruth was going through this mess too. She had lost her husband. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, Naomi had told her just before this, why don't you go back? Listen, I'm leaving, but why don't you stay here? I'm going back to my homeland, but you don't know those people. Go back to your family. Go back to where you belong and where you need to be. But Ruth chooses something different. Ruth chooses to stay. Ruth was prepared by God to be this help to Naomi in her grief. And it says in Ruth chapter 1 in verse 16, well, Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Listen to Ruth's words here in verse 17 as she continues on. She says, where you die, Naomi, that's where I will die. And there will I be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. Ruth chooses to stay. Ruth doesn't hold anything back. She has a heart that's going to hold on. She has a heart that's not leaving. Just like we saw with God in Deuteronomy, Ruth had this type of mindset in her heart that she wasn't going anywhere. Nothing would separate us. And if anything did separate us, then God would do something worse to her. This is a covenant level love. She was all in, and God is all in for us, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through, no matter if we're in the good times or the bad times. God has this perfect love. Yes, we see an example of it here in Ruth, but God pours it out perfectly on us every single day. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't easy. Ruth was leaving the only land she had ever known, all her family behind, everything she had ever experienced. And it wasn't convenient for sure, but it was definitely a commitment. She was committed and said, listen, I'm going to have this heart that holds on. I'm going to have this heart that stays. I'm going to love you with everything I have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, this bears all things. And what bears all things? Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures through all things. And Ruth was to this point where she says, Naomi, I'm all in for you. Listen, we started out this service honoring and thanking you ladies in this room. And there are so many of you in here who I've seen this time and time again. No matter what you're facing, Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter how much grief you experience. You continue to pour out on others. You continue to give. You continue to love. You continue to pray. You continue to serve. And I am so thankful and grateful for those of you who show up each and every week to exemplify this type of 1 Corinthians 13 love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So many of us in this room, so many of you ladies in this room have this godly heart that doesn't walk away when things get hard. You hold on. Again, some of you have stayed in hard seasons through loss. Again, that seat empty there that you wish was filled next to you. You loved when it wasn't returned. I mentioned earlier wayward children and how you just continue to pour into them and continue to pour into them. And it seems like that love is not reciprocated. And yet you just keep on. You keep pressing. You keep having this heart that stays. And I want to challenge you this morning. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. And maybe you're here and you're carrying a weight that no one knows about. No one's ever seen. When you do that, when you stay in the hard seasons, when you love when it's not returned, when you carry a weight that no one sees, that's not weakness. This is Christ-like strength. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season, for in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary." I looked out a while ago and saw a few people that I've been able to go visit in the hospital just the past couple of weeks, and it's amazing to see them and their families here. And I just want to say praise God. Thank you for those of you who've been praying for these individuals. Spent a little bit of time here recently, and some of these in this room, more time in a hospital chair recently. And there's something powerful about a hospital chair. It's like, what are you talking about? It's just a chair. It's the hospital chair is not powerful because it's comfortable, because let's be honest, most of us have been in hospital chairs and they're not very comfortable. It's not powerful because anyone wants to sit in it. Again, we don't typically choose to go to the hospital and just hang out. That's not a place we go to just chill. It's not the way it works. But the hospital chair is powerful because of the one who sits in that chair. It's the one who's there at 2:13 a.m. in the morning under some fluorescent lights, exhausted, uncomfortable, scared, not knowing what's going on, and yet that someone who loves is staying in that chair. That's why that hospital chair is powerful. It's a mother, it's a spouse, it's a grandmother, and they stayed there because love doesn't run when things get painful. Love doesn't run when things get painful. It stays. Naomi had nothing left. She had nothing to offer her daughter-in-law. No status, no future, no security, no home, no money. She had nothing, but Ruth said, "Listen, I'm staying anyways. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it is." That's what godly love does. It loves when it's uncomfortable. It loves when it hurts. It loves when no one else is there. It loves when it's 2:13 in the morning and you wish you could sleep and you're stuck in a stinky old hospital room with nowhere else to go. I'll talk to you guys in this room for a minute, myself included. Don't overlook this. Don't overlook these women in this church. These women who are pouring these things out and who need our support. Those wives that you have sitting next to you this morning, don't overlook them, who need this support as they're going through things and facing difficult things in their lives. We must come alongside them and support them. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." Guys, we can't just expect godly hearts in the women in our lives. We must come alongside and help cultivate their hearts. We have a responsibility, guys, in this room to come alongside these ladies that are placed here in our church and help cultivate these hearts. A godly heart keeps showing up. Point number one, a godly heart never leaves. It keeps showing up, and Ruth showed up for Naomi. Point number two, a godly heart chooses the right future. A godly heart chooses the right future. Ruth chooses to make a move. She chooses to leave. She chooses to go with, to follow Naomi back to Bethlehem. And when she arrives there, she is met with a challenge because, again, they have nothing. They don't have any sort of means to provide for themselves. All the men have passed away, and so it's just them going back with nothing. And then Ruth makes this move. She chooses what's right for the future. I want to read a little bit of scripture here in Ruth chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "And now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go.'" Listen, she had to make a decision. They make it back to this place. They had no resources. They had nothing. And Ruth's like, "Here, I'm here to work. I'm here to serve. I'm here to help. Let me go. Let me go into the field and glean among the ears of the grain after the one whose sight I might find favor." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." Verse 3, what does she do? She makes the right decision, a heart that makes the right decision. She could have said she wanted to go all day long. She could have told her mother-in-law, "Yeah, I'll do that." But she actually gets up in verse 3. "And so she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a portion of the field belonging to Boaz." I love that portion of scripture. Here she is out making her way in a foreign land, doesn't really know where she's going. And the Bible says she just happened to go. Just happened. Just happened, you know. God orchestrated this and moved her, and she ends up in this portion of field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. Verse 4, "And now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'May the Lord be with you.' And he said, 'May the Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servants, 'Who is in charge of the reapers? And whose young woman is this?'" Who is this young lady? Who is this woman who's in this place? And the servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." And thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. And she has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from the servants from which the servants draw." And then she makes another right decision here in verse 10. "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' And Boaz replied to her and said, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to the people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work. Your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge.' Then she said, 'I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and indeed I have spoken kindly to your maidservant, so that I am not like one of your maidservants, though I am not like one of your maidservants.'" Ruth, making right decision, A heart that chose to make these right decisions, a heart that chose to bow down, a heart that chose to glean, a heart that chose to work hard all day long and wait to speak to the master of that field. She steps right into her responsibility. She says, I have this heart that's holding on to Naomi and trying to help her. And I also have this heart to serve. I have this heart to help. She had a heart that chose faith over maybe some fears that were definitely probably consuming her. Again, think of where she's at. She's at a foreign land. She doesn't know where she's going. She doesn't know what she's doing. And she ends up gleaning just in the right field for just the right person. And a lot of times we look at Proverbs 31 and we talk about the end of Proverbs 31 there and talk about a Proverbs 31 woman. And oftentimes we elevate this Proverbs 31 woman to this position that we think is perfect. And I just want to encourage you here this morning, that's not the case. Proverbs 31, this is not a perfect woman because there is no such thing as a perfect woman. I love you, dear. Proverbs 31, verse 27, it talks about this woman and the decisions that she makes daily. And it says she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of her idleness. She gets up every single morning and says, listen, what do I have to do today to serve, to help, to be this blessing, to pray, to prepare, to make ready? And this is what Ruth chose to do. I will go where you go. I will serve who you serve. I will die where you die. I am all in for you. And there's, again, just so thankful and grateful for so many of you ladies in this room, if not all of you, who have a godly heart that is absolutely intentional. Saying, I'm going and I'm going to make the right decisions, not only for my family, but for our church. I'm going to strive after these things. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. Because here's the deal. There's some of the ladies in this room who make these decisions even when you don't know exactly what's going to happen next. But God does. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare. And not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Ruth did not know the whole plan. It wasn't laid out before her, but she absolutely trusted the God who did. She said, I'm going to try to make right decisions in your sight, God. Listen, this applies to every single woman in this room, whether you have children or whether you don't have children. God has placed within you, ladies, a heart that builds, a heart that nurtures, a heart that invests. We see this in our example here this morning in the woman of Ruth. And God has given you and placed within you that same exact heart, a heart that builds, a heart that nurtures, a heart that invests. There's an old saying that goes like this. A wise person plants trees whose shade they may never sit under. A wise person plants trees whose shade they might never sit under. Think about that. Someone plants a tree. They water it. They nurture it. They protect it. They feed it. They do everything they have to do. And then years later down the road, someone else benefits from it. That was the heart of Ruth. He said, I don't know what's coming here, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm just going to choose to have this heart that makes right decisions. Every small decision she made, she was planting seeds for the future. And she couldn't even see it yet. She had no idea what was going to come. Again, I'm thankful and grateful for those of you who are trying to follow after God's heart and God's way. And you're planting these seeds for the future. Any of you moms ever lost sleep over something that you're planning for the next day? No one wants to admit it. Y'all are so humble. Appreciate it. Any of you moms ever prayed for someone and lost that sleep over someone, and then years later you saw that character start to develop in that person? Any of you grandmothers pray for your grandchildren, and then somewhere down the road you start seeing the faithfulness of those young men and young ladies being poured out before your eyes? Any of you spiritual moms ever invest in some teenagers at some point, and then years later you watch them become godly men and godly women, and you're just thinking, man, praise God. All I did was try to be a faithful, obedient servant of His, and He's poured out these things that I couldn't even see coming. Since we might not see the results immediately, but we must never underestimate the power of planting those seeds. In Titus chapter 2, I don't have time to read it all this morning, but essentially the older women are commanded to teach the younger women. Building into their lives is what it says in Titus. Older women teach the younger women, building into their lives. That's the picture. That's spiritual motherhood, and that matters deeply. A godly heart that keeps showing up. We saw it already. Ruth showed it to Naomi. Ruth shows it in the field. And point number three this morning, a godly heart walks in humility and strength. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10, we already read it, but I want to read it again. Humility and strength. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Humility and strength. She has this humble position, this position that positioned her for grace, the grace of Boaz to be poured out on her. Because of her position, God pours out grace. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "But he who gives a greater grace, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." This humble, submitted place, God says, "I will pour out grace if you will come to this place." And guess what? Boaz sees it. He sees her humbled. He sees her bowing before him. And we read these verses just a second ago. And Boaz replied to her and said, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law." Listen, Ruth didn't even understand. She didn't even know that Boaz had already seen those things and heard those things. And yet, here he is. He's like, "I've seen it. I saw what you poured out after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. How you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and you came to a people that you did not previously know." And then Boaz says, "May grace just be poured out on you because of your humility. Because of your willingness to make right decisions. Because of your willingness to stay. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." I pray this prayer this morning that God would reward the work of you ladies in this room. That God would pour out and your wages would be full. That God would bless you and bless your families in a tremendous way. Listen, men, we'll talk to us again for just a minute here. When we see these humble acts of service, when we see women who stay, when we see women who are working and striving after these things that are hard, the first thing, we need to not be oblivious. We need to see it. We need to see these things. We actually need to acknowledge when they happen. Again, we need to see when these things are taking place in the ladies' lives around us. And then we need to make it known. Actually, speak up and use our words. Can I get all the guys to be like, "Yes, I'll use my words sometimes." Like, yeah, absolutely. We need to do that. We need to see it. We need to make it known. We need to make it clear. We need to make it strong. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as someone who is weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." You know what Peter's saying here to us, guys? He's saying, "You husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Actually see it and make it known and show her honor." We must notice the faithfulness, guys. We must honor it when we see it, and we must protect it at all cost. And so a godly heart Yes, it keeps showing up. It keeps showing up through Ruth, who showed up there for Naomi. It keeps showing up with our example of Ruth, who showed up in the fields. It showed up, as we just read, with Ruth and humility. And then we read about Boaz and how he showed up with integrity. This godly heart that keeps showing up throughout our story this morning. And this brings us to our last point this morning. A godly heart trusts God with the outcome. A godly heart trusts God with the outcome. I said in the beginning that we opened up this scripture with an absolute mess. Naomi had lost her husband. She had lost her two sons, and she had nothing left. We read there in chapter 1, in verse 20, in verse 21, we read that Naomi said, listen, don't call me Naomi anymore, but call me bitter. Call me Mara. And God takes this woman who was in a very bad place, a very bitter place, a very place of being upset and not knowing what the future holds. He takes Naomi from bitter to restored. He takes her to this place that only God could have taken her. Again, this story could have gone all kinds of different ways, and yet one woman's decision, Ruth, she made a way. She chose to follow God. Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. The woman said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who left you a redeemer today, and may his name be famous in Israel. Naomi goes from bitter to restored. If you don't know the story, Ruth and Boaz, they end up being married. They end up having this child. And then all of these women surround Naomi. They say, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. So now, I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you're facing. I want to go back to what we started with this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know who's not sitting next to you today. I don't know these things. But I know that same God who didn't forsake those people in the wilderness, who didn't forsake those people in Deuteronomy, who reiterated it in Hebrews. He's there for you today. Goes on in verse 15, these ladies, they continue. It says, may he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better to you than seven sons who has given birth to him. And I want to encourage you one more time today, ladies, listen to this. Listen to the words here. Your daughter-in-law made these right decisions. She's better than seven sons unto you. And God shows up and shows her, listen, and I'm not done with you yet, Naomi. I'm not done with you yet, Ruth. Because of these decisions that you've made, guess what? I'm going to work in you generationally. I'm going to work through these seeds that you've planted in ways that you may never know. In Ruth chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap, and she became his nurse. And the neighborhood women gave him a son of the name Naomi, and they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. And now these are the generations of Perez, and Perez was born of Hezron, and Hezron was born to Ram, and Ram to Amminadab, and Amminadab was born to Nahshon, and Nahshon was born to Salmon, and Salmon was born to Boaz, and Boaz, Obed, and Obed was born to Jesse, and Jesse unto David. Their pain had purpose. Their story had direction. And it all leads clearly to Jesus Christ. Listen, we have no idea what these seeds, these right decisions we're planting, are going to do, but God does. And I want to encourage you, women, keep planting these seeds. Keep making these right, godly decisions. Keep showing up. And Ruth showed up for Naomi. Ruth showed up in the fields. Ruth showed up with humility. Boaz showed up with integrity. And then in the end, God shows up with redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. They had no idea it was going to turn out this way. And then God shows up and shows off in a tremendous way. And sometimes we look at our life and it feels kind of like the backside of a tapestry. You look at the backside of something that's woven and it looks like a giant mess. It's all messy. It's all knotted up. It's unclear. You can't really tell what's on the front side, but God sees the front side. God knows what's going on. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God sees the finished picture, the front side of that tapestry that we can't see. We only see the threads. And God says, "I've got this. There's a finished picture. Just keep pressing. Just keep moving. Keep having this heart that holds on." So what kind of heart will you carry today? Are we going to have a heart that gives up when it gets hard and say, "Listen, no, I can't go with you. I can't follow you. I can't do those things. I'm going to turn back." And we didn't even look at the sister that turned back, Orpah. Or are we going to have a heart that holds on? Again, some of you are like Naomi today, like Naomi, and you're hurting. Some of you are like Ruth, and you're deciding, which direction do I need to go? And some of us in this room are like Boaz, and we're leading. We need to keep pressing forward. But the ultimate example is the one who it led to through Obed, through Jesse, through the lineage of David, up to the person of Jesus Christ. The one who never leaves, the one who never forsakes, the one who's never going to go anywhere. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than the one who lays down his life for his friends." He didn't walk away. He knew what was coming and he stayed. He stayed to the very end. He laid down his life. He shed his blood and he rose again on the third day. He stayed for you and for me. If you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that today before you leave. Today, we honor mothers on Mother's Day. Some godly women in this room who we're so thankful and grateful for. But more than that, we honor the hearts that reflect God. A heart that loves, a heart that stays, a heart that holds on no matter what. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to celebrate here today. God, again, I am just so thankful and grateful for the ladies in this room, and I pray that you would use them up mightily for your kingdom. I pray that they would choose to have these hearts that hold on, these hearts that reflect your heart, these hearts that try to reflect your illustrations in your word that are so clear and prevalent for us. I'm not saying they're going to be a Ruth or going to be a Naomi, but we have this example that we can take and look at and glean from, and I pray that we would do that. God, I pray for us men in this room, whether we're married or not, that we would surround these women and we would encourage them and we would help strengthen them and encourage them as they navigate this sin-filled world. God, I do pray for those here this morning who might not know you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray that today is the day of salvation. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are in it. God, I ask you to just bless now in a mighty way as we have this time of invitation. Help us to love on these ladies, to pray for these ladies, and surround them this morning and just give you thanks and honor and glory for all that you're doing. We love you and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our podcast. If you would like to learn more about Trinity Baptist Temple or join us for our weekly services, visit our website at tbtchurch.org. You can also catch our weekly services live on Facebook and our YouTube channel. We hope to see you again very soon. Bye!